coming into it, if you asked me to bet money, I would have thought Cody was going to win, and I would have lost. Podcast. I'm your host, TW. I recognize you have so many choices for your entertainment. So whoever you are and wherever you may be, thank you, thank you, thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with me. Real quick before we get started, just wherever, however you're consuming this, if you listen to this on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, please go give me a 5-star rating real quick. If you're watching this on YouTube, go ahead, like, comment, subscribe, and make sure you hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this channel. Also, if you want to send any questions for me to answer right here on the pod, you can tweet the show at Talking About Pod. Tweet me, I tweet back. You can also email the show, talkingaboutpod@gmail.com. All right, let's get into it. So WrestleMania is in the books. WrestleMania was fantastic. Fantastic. I enjoyed it. I'm pretty sure everybody enjoyed it. Some people did not enjoy it because at the end of that show, there were some people who had their feelings hurt. Oh, man. Oh, man. I could tell you from being in the building, man, like, you know, people were there to see something and a lot of people didn't see what they want. A lot of people did see what they wanted. A lot of people did see what they wanted. But I'd be willing to bet that a lot more went away a little bit disappointed. So then we had to follow up and see, you know, what are we going to do here? And a lot of people have theories on what's going to happen with Cody Rhodes. A lot of people have theories on who's pulling the strings with Vince McMahon. Behind the scenes at WWE. Spoiler alert, it's Vince McMahon. we're going to get into all of that. We're also going to talk about, the queen right now, Bianca Belair. Please, 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 whatever you're doing, stop and give it up for Bianca Belair because she is her. Absolutely, she is her. We love Bianca Belair. Her match at WrestleMania was outstanding. Her entrance was, so important for so many reasons, and we're going to talk about all that. But, of course, our top story, Roman Reigns defeated Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. Oh, man. Listen, coming into this show, I was going back and forth about who I thought was actually going to win. I thought about it. I debated back and forth. I didn't have a rooting interest in it. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't, like, waving the pom-poms. I did have on my We The Ones hoodie just because I thought it was fresh. I just liked the hoodie. But I didn't have a rooting interest going into this match. But I was trying to, you know, like many people who, you know, you watch any kind of story, right? You watch any kind of movie, you watch any kind of TV show, you're watching it, you're putting together the clues, you're trying to kind of guess, you're trying to project how you think the story is going to play out, what you think is going to happen to the hero, where you think everything is going to go. And in the case of WWE, you're trying to guess based on, you know, the things they're showing you on TV, also the things that, you know, we might believe about how they might want to do business, right? Like a lot of us have, when we come to think about WWE, we can't help but consider the business interest, right? The business side of it. So, you know, we take a lot of that into consideration when we're trying to think of how things might play out when we're watching a WWE show, especially for a big, major storyline such as this, right? Roman Reigns, coming up on 1,000 days as WWE champion. I think he's like 60 days away from it or something like that, right? So almost 3-year run as Universal Champion. Cody Rhodes, hotter than fish grease right now, right? You know, went away with AEW, came back, big return of the Royal Rumble. Everybody, you know, was on his side. He had all the momentum in the world. And here we are, WrestleMania, right? The big showdown. This is one of the biggest WrestleManias, one of the biggest showdowns probably in a very, very, very long time. I'm going to turn my mic down here a little bit. It's showing up hot here on the reader, and I don't want it to come out too hot when I post this. I don't want to be too hot in your ears, so I'm trying to monitor that, people. So bear with your boy here. I put out a pod, I think 2 weeks ago, and the voice volume sounded a little low. So I'm trying to find the best, you know, the best balance between being too hot and being too low, right? I wanna be in your ears comfortably. You know what I'm saying? I wanna fit in your ears comfortably. You know what I'm saying? So, so you know, forgive me as I experiment with my distance from the mic, and you know, maybe change the volume up and down here a little bit, just trying to see what's the best balance for you guys when I listen to this as I play it out when I'm done. All right. So, like I said, coming to the show, I was going back and forth on who I thought was going to win. And I had settled on that I thought Cody would win. Coming into it, if you asked me to bet money, I would have thought Cody was going to win. And I would have lost. Okay, I would have lost. Because as we know, Cody did not win. But the reason why I picked Cody, right, is because if you were going to end a historic title reign like the one Roman Reigns was having, it was very important that whoever takes Roman's place be somebody that the crowd was ready to receive as that top guy, as that top star, as the face of the company. And I really can't think of anybody else in the company right now who could reasonably step in to that role more so than Cody Rhodes. So Cody Rhodes seemed perfectly ready, seems perfectly groomed for the role, as far as the responsibilities of it. He seems ready for it in terms of the fans' willingness to accept him in that spot. So I was all in. It was a big moment, big WrestleMania. I thought Cody was going to win, okay? I thought Cody was going to win. And by the way, when I was there, the whole time I was in LA, right? Every time I would see a wrestling fan, somebody that, you know, looked like a wrestling fan, anybody who had, you know, a wrestling t-shirt on, or, you know, somebody who I thought might be a wrestling fan, or people who I saw at the stadium or anything, you know, I would check people's temperature. I would ask them, who are you here to see? And everybody almost everybody, I'm here to see Cody Rhodes. I'm here to see Cody Rhodes. By the way, let me say this, side note. If you're going to go to wrestling shows dressed up, cosplaying as a wrestler, I think that's fine. I think that's fine. But don't cosplay as a wrestler who wears tailored suits. Because if you don't wear a tailored suit, it's going to look like trash. If you cosplay as a wrestler who wears suits that are form-fitting and, you know, and well-tailored to every, you know, the length of their wrist, you know, the ankles and all that, and you come out here with your baggy suit from the sample shop, you're going to look wild, bro. You're going to look wild. And I saw some people out here cosplaying as Cody Rhodes, and I was like, bro, this ain't it. So, so listen, the atmosphere was crazy. Being in the building for that main event, oh, my goodness. Listen, it was worth every penny. Like, going to WrestleMania was not cheap. But it was worth it. And specifically being in the building in the moment of that main event, it was, oh my God, bro. Like it was literally like implanting yourself in the thing you see on TV, right? Like the thing that we love, the thing that we enjoy. The only part that, you know, that I couldn't really get that full experience of is I couldn't fully hear Samantha Irvin's entrance. I love her ring announcements. Love it, dog. Like, she just, Roman Reigns. I barely have a voice, so I can't really do it. But, yo, but it was so loud. It was so loud in there. I could not hear the person next to me. It was incredible. It was incredible. So the experience, the atmosphere in there, had that big fight feel, mwah. It was worth every penny. Whatever you paid for your ticket, you got your money's worth for sure. And so, you know, Cody took the L. People were highly, highly upset. I mean, oh, man. There was a young lady sitting next to me, and she had the boo-boo face on after Cody lost. Oh, my God. There's a video. If you just check my Talking About Pod TikTok page, you'll see. Man, people were upset. There's a video of this guy punching the punching the rails and the glass, and oh my God, man, like, guys, please, please. We all like wrestling. We all like wrestling. But, you know, it's a show. It's a TV show, people. Calm down. But I will say this, though. Some of those reactions were so emotional. Y'all definitely have money on this. And if you are dumb enough to bet money on a wrestling show, then you deserve what you get, okay? Yes, you deserve. What's the saying? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. So, yes, if you gambled away your rent money on WrestleMania, then boo you. I don't know. Sip of coffee for the working man. All right. So now Cody is going to have to earn it, right? He'll probably – we saw what happened on WrestleMania. I'm sorry, the Raw after Mania. Cody's probably going to have to go through Brock and go through the Usos and go through Solo. He might lose to Brock a couple of times, you know, whatever, the whole deal. This is probably going to go on for the next two or three WrestleManias, right? Like, I mean, I realized something, right? As I was thinking out, like, I didn't think there was a bad choice here, to be honest. Like, you know, like, more time with Roman Reigns as champion is not a bad thing. That's certainly not going to hurt business for WWE. People aren't going to stop watching because Roman Reigns is still the champion, right? Like, that's not going to happen. So it wasn't like a bad choice, but you weren't going to find a better time to make a better choice than that. It was a big moment in a big spot with a guy who's ready. It seemed like the right time to make that move. And so I had to stop and think about it. And I was like, wait a minute. I know what's going to happen here. I have a feeling about how I think this is going to play out, okay? Like I said, we realize Cody will never be hotter. But no, that's not how Vince gets down. When stuff is hot, Vince is like, let's stretch it out as far as we possibly can, and let's get even more out of this. Rockin' John Cena, once in a lifetime, biggest WrestleMania gate of all time. What did he do? Let's just stretch this out for a whole nother WrestleMania, a whole nother year. And that's what we're going to get here. Cody versus Roman is probably going to be the story that we're wrapped up in for the next two, maybe three, maybe four WrestleManias. Okay, this is good. This is what it's going to be. Cody's going to have to go through the gauntlet. You know, he's going to lose some. You know, he'll win some. You know, they'll make it seem like he's not going to get a chance to fight Roman, and eventually he will. He may get all the way to next WrestleMania. He might lose again next WrestleMania, okay? It would not shock me at all if we get to next WrestleMania and Roman takes on Cody and Cody loses again. That would not shock me one bit. Not one bit. Because Vince is going to milk every cent out of his audience that he can. And as a business person, I guess that's what he should do, right? That's what he should do. So I'm not even necessarily mad at him. Like, you know, it is what it is. But I do want to say this. There's more than one way to tell a story. I think WWE runs into a problem sometimes with trying to make the next guy too much in the mold of the last guy. So they did this with Roman Reigns, right? Remember early in Roman Reigns, you know, when Roman Reigns was coming on strong, and it was being clear that he was being presented as a main eventer, and they tried to, you know, everybody talks about the suffering succotash bar, right? You know what I mean? Like, when he had that line, oh, what in the suffering succotash? And you know what? If they have given that line to John Cena at that time, John Cena would have got that off as a bar. Okay, John Cena would have made that work. But why? Why would that have worked for John Cena and it didn't work for Roman? Because at that time, John Cena had built up enough equity in the audience, right? He had built up enough of a rapport where he could try things, where he could just do things that are silly, that don't necessarily make sense. The people didn't get a chance to get to know Roman, to love Roman. If you gave Roman that suffering succotash line today, he could make it work. But at the time, it was just too early. The crowd didn't have enough invested in him to take a silly line like that and just, you know, not overreact to it, right? But they were too busy trying to fit Roman into the mold that was working already for John Cena. And so similarly, they're doing the same thing right now with Cody Rhodes. They're trying to plug Cody Rhodes in to the same story that they gave Roman with, you know, his 5-year conquest of Brock Lesnar, right? So, but to me, again, I think it's a mistake this time, the same way it was a mistake trying to plug Roman in and make him be John Cena right away. There is more than one way to tell a story. Like, you can say what you want, but people were ready for Cody right now. Again, I'm not making this up. I'm not saying this because I wanted Cody to win. I'm saying what everybody I talked to, almost, I guarantee you there might have been one or two people who were like, yo, I'm here to see Roman win, yo, whatever, whatever. But the majority of people in that building were there to see Cody Rhodes win. And so it doesn't make sense. Like, why not give the people what they want? You know, like, it's not like people are going to stop watching because Cody didn't win, you know? But I do think that you do kind of run the risk of turning some people off. Like me personally, right? The idea that I already know what the next year of television is going to be, where I already know where the next year of television is headed, it kind of takes the fun out of it a little bit. It takes away the intrigue. A big reason why we had that big fight feel at this past WrestleMania is because we felt like there was a legitimate question as to who was going to win. Same thing with the first Rock Cena matchup, right? We felt like there was a legitimate question as to who was going to win. This was The Rock's first time coming back in forever. John Cena's John Cena. You know, we knew, we thought they had real legitimate tension between each other. We thought that both of them very easily could pull the I'm a big dog card and I don't want to lose to this guy. So all the things coming into that match, we had a legitimate doubt as to who could possibly win. And it was a similar feel. That's what created that big fight feel that we got for this WrestleMania match between Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. And you're not going to get that again. You're not going to get another. I mean, you can do Roman and Cody again. They're going to do Roman and Cody again. But there's not going to be that same, you know, honest to goodness doubt. Because what's going to happen is the next time they do Roman and Cody, half the people are going to say, no, Cody hasn't earned it enough yet. I still need to see more. And half the people are going to say, okay, this is the time when Cody's going to overcome him. And Cody will probably lose to Roman like two more times. He probably will. He'll probably lose to Roman a couple more times because, again, clearly they're following the same mold that they put Roman through to get his championship. And the question is, are people going to hang on long enough to see it, right? So it's cool to tell people, you know, there's people freaking out and taking it too far, as they always do, because that's what the internets do, okay? So, of course, there's people taking it way too far. And I don't have a problem with people saying, let it play out. But, like, let it play out is more like, hey, we don't know where this is going. Give the story a chance. Don't overreact, yada, 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 yada. And yeah, that can be said here to an extent. But if you think about it, we kind of do know where it's going. Like, you've just shown us where it's going. You've shown us where it's going. So letting the story play out is cool, which ultimately we are going to do. But you know what else is cool? Giving the fans what they actually want to see. If you enjoy what we're doing here, make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure you hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time I drop some brand new fire content on this page. Also, if you are listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any podcast audio app, please make sure to give me a 5-star rating, drop a nice comment, and let everybody know how much you like this podcast. It really helps with my searchability and all that other good stuff. So, the Raw after WrestleMania. The Raw after WrestleMania, I have to tell you this. In my humble opinion, the Raw after WrestleMania is the most overrated thing in all of wrestling. So overrated. So overrated. Look, man, people get excited for debuts. They get excited for surprises. You know, they hope to see some new directions for some of the characters. You know, they they're hoping that characters they just saw finish the story, pun intended, and they're hoping to see new directions for where their story goes next, right? And it didn't feel like any of that happened on this year's Raw after Mania. I mean, we had what felt like a very random match between KO and Sammy and the Street Profits. There was a women's tag team match that did set up the number one contenders match, but it still doesn't feel like there's any story there, right? Like, it feels like any real story is going to be the breakup of Lita and Becky and Trish, however that's going to disintegrate. That feels like the real story, because if your next tag team contenders are Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, like, there's no fan investment there. Well, that's not true. People love Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan is hot right now. Especially after she was caught on camera ignoring Buddy, who was trying to tell her about her schedule or whatever. Like, pull up that video, man. Liv Morgan ignoring that dude who was in her ear at the Knicks game trying to, you know, tell her. He's like, oh, yeah, Liv, so we got to do this, we got to do this. And she was just like, dude, please stop talking to me. I am trying to see what my hair looks like on the Jumbotron. And so that was, but people like Liv Morgan. My daughter is 7. She likes Liv Morgan. So Liv Morgan is definitely hot out here in these streets. Raquel Rodriguez, she's very talented, but I can't say I've ever heard anybody say they're a big fan of her. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to come to the show, bring a sign for, you know, Raquel Rodriguez. AKA Louisa from Encanto. But so we got that as kind of a storyline pushing forward. And if your name is Cody Rhodes, right, you did get a little spin forward of your story. Okay. We saw Cody get murdered by Brock Lesnar. And, but for the most part, right, like, just, you know, we saw Bronson Reed pop up with a red suit and some shades. So he's got a new gimmick, right? Seth Rollins came out. And, like, he did the Grandpa Simpson, right? Like, he walked out, did his dance. And then they come back from commercial break, and he's like, okay, Seth, dance your ass back to Gorilla. Seth, back up the ramp for, you know, whatever. That was so random. And speaking of randomness, right? The randomness of the Brock Cody thing is just, oh, God. Like, oh, oh. Okay, the setup made sense. Okay, the setup was fine, right? Like, Cody comes out, he tells Roman, I want a rematch. Roman's like, no rematch. Then Roman tells, then Cody's like, okay, hey, let's do a tag match. Then Paul Heyman's like, okay, we'll do a tag match, but anybody who tags with you can never face Roman for the Universal title and whatever it was, right? So that opened the door for Brock Lesnar to come out. Everybody's like, ah, Brock Lesnar, cool. All right, boom, boom. But feeding you the big named marquee main event was really kind of just a great way to try and, you know, not make people upset for the fact people were really feeling and believing that that Cody might get his rematch on the Raw after Mania. Because that's how much people believe that it was Cody's time to win. That people truly, genuinely believe they were going to come out on the Raw after WrestleMania and Cody was going to challenge Roman to a rematch. Roman was going to accept and Cody was going to win the title on Monday Night Raw. Come on, people. Get real. Get real, right? So we got Brock to be Cody's partner, and Brock was just too buddy-buddy with Cody. I mean, like, this whole thing... Right, this whole thing stunk to high heaven from the time he came out. He was just, you know, oh, you know, giving him the big hug and pulling him in close, and you know, just all of that. I was like, man, this is like, I feel like I know where this is going right away. And sure enough, as soon as they did the intros for the main event match, Brock attacked Cody, beat him with an inch of his life, and it was funny too. After the show went off the air, they posted the video of the valiant Cody trying to walk to the back after he got the beat down from Brock. Then he gets all the way to the stage right before it's time to walk off stage, and he collapses and falls down again. I was like, dog, so dramatic, but hilarious. But you gotta love wrestling. I love wrestling. Wrestling's amazing. But still though, right? Like, if you think about the way they book Brock, it is just so random. It's just like, okay, hey, here's Brock. He was a good guy yesterday when he's fighting Omos. Now today he's a bad guy because he's fighting Cody. What's his motivation? Why is he attacking Cody? What does he have against Cody? Do we expect Brock to explain this? Do we expect Brock Lesnar to come out and cut a 5, 10, 15 minute promo where he explains why he beat Cody Rhodes? I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see it happening. And if it does happen, it's going to be bad, 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 bad TV, which now that I think of it, probably will happen. It probably will happen. They'll probably give Brock a microphone and be like, hey, Brock, go out there and tell him how you beat up Cody. He'll be like, because you told me to. But then they'll have him go out there and just try to kill time. I'm like, yo, dog, like, this is not his thing, but who cares, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you like. It doesn't matter what I like. All that matters is what we see on TV, right? And you look at everything we saw on TV, you couple that with the reports from multiple outlets that Vince McMahon was back on headset in Gorilla, not just at WrestleMania, but also at Raw. This was a historic Raw, okay? Because not only did this Monday Night Raw mark the end of the McMahon family owning WWE, it also seemed to mark the end of the Triple H era. And it was a good era. It was a good era. It was nice while it lasted. Triple H appears to still have the title of being the head of creative, but all the reports and the curious booking decisions, the cryptic tweets we're seeing from wrestlers coming from, you know, various talent, it just really suggests that this company is right back where it was creatively before Vince pretended to retire. And listen, I'm not gonna sit here and be like, yo, this is crap, I'm gonna stop watching. But you know what? A lot of people are. A lot of people are. And you're gonna see. Just keep an eye on those ratings over the next couple of weeks, next couple of months. You'll see. They're gonna keep doing this, let's just say, curious type of booking. And people are gonna be like, yeah, this isn't fun anymore. This isn't fun anymore. And you'll see those ratings come right back down to where they were before Triple H took over. And I'll still be here. Okay, I'll still be here. I'll still cover it for you. I would do that for you, okay? I'll watch it so you don't have to, okay? But, yeah, you know, we know what's coming, and I don't think it's going to be very good. All right, if you enjoy what we're doing here, please make sure to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time we drop some brand new content on this page. If you're listening on Spotify or on Apple Podcasts, please drop a 5-star rating and drop a little comment there so everybody knows how much you like this pod. Bianca Belair, ladies and gentlemen, Bianca Belair, she is everything and so much more, okay? Like, Bianca Belair was given really no build to her WrestleMania match. And when you think about it, she really hasn't had a build to any of her WrestleMania matches. That's not true. There was a nice build to her match with Becky Lynch. I thought that was very good. It was actually probably about a 6-month storyline, and it was very, very, very good. But her match, her historic match with Sasha Banks, had very little build to it. This match had very little build to it. But you know what all of her WrestleMania matches have in common? Bangers. Bangers. Bianca Belair has not missed yet with a WrestleMania match. Every one of her WrestleMania matches have been great. And given very little to work with and making something great out of nothing, that's just what she does, man. That's just what she does. You gotta give it up for that girl. And, you know, speaking of giving it up for the girl, you know, her entrance at this year's WrestleMania, it was a reminder of why Bianca Belair is special. It's a reminder of why Bianca Belair is important. You know, why Bianca Belair is great at this, why she's a special talent. And to be honest, WWE is lucky to have her. I said it before that Bianca Belair is the perfect professional wrestler, and she hasn't proven me wrong yet. You know, like, she checks every box you could possibly ever want for a pro wrestler. You know, she's a legit, believable athlete. She's good looking. She's got style. She's got charisma. You know, she's witty. She's got the whole deal, man. She's got the whole deal. And I really wish that creatively I will say this. This is one thing that I think is actually a good thing. Bianca Belair, she's a person who stands to benefit from Vince being back in charge, because I think that Vince is a bigger fan of Bianca than Triple H is. I think Vince sees her doing more than Triple H does. I think that under Vince, Bianca was featured more than she was under Triple H. And people could say, for whatever excuses they want to, you know, maybe he was trying to get other people in, or, you know, whatever, or this or that. But I do think she was used a lot better under Vince than she was under Triple H. So she's some person that I think stands to benefit a little bit from Vince being back in charge. And really, we're the ones who stand to benefit, because the more Bianca, the more better. Okay, the more Bianca, the better for us. Because, again, she doesn't miss. She hasn't missed. She's, you know, outstanding. The Divas of Compton, who you know, did who assisted with Bianca's entrance. You know, you guys heard the story Triple H told, that the young girl who was the contortionist, she learned earlier that day that her mom passed away. And you know, the fact that that child was able to go out there and perform, you know, that's a strength that most of us will probably never know. But the fact that Bianca Belair, right, that she's just consistently excellent, and she's a representative for a segment of the audience that often feels underrepresented, but has been supportive of all wrestling throughout every territory in the history of wrestling, right? Bianca is an excellent representative for, you know, for women, women's wrestlers, for black people, for black women. Like, you know, Bianca Belair, she's amazing. And you can't say enough great things about, you know, the way she represents WWE, the way she represents the demographic that identifies with her the most, right? Which is us black people. Which, by the way, I heard some people was in the crowd at WrestleMania talking greasy about Bianca Belair, and I'm so glad. I am so glad that none of this was near me. I want to thank God for making sure that none of that happened in my vicinity, because I just, you know, I'm glad I got to stay and enjoy the whole show. I might not have been able to stay and enjoy the whole show if that had happened around me. We'll just leave it at that. But yeah, Bianca Belair is amazing, man. Like, enjoy her while she's here, because it will not be long before some sort of outside entity shows up with that bag, wanting her to do other stuff. WWE is a great platform that people, you know, people often use to elevate their careers to other places, and it won't be long until Bianca Belair is in that same boat. So let's enjoy her while we have her. Let's praise the queen. And yes, thank you, Bianca, for that entrance. Thank you, Bianca and Asuka, for putting on that fire, amazing match. And yes, Bianca is the queen, man. There's just nothing else to say. Give her love. Give her love. All right, listen. That's all we got, okay? If you got questions for me, you can tweet the show at Talking About Pod. You can email the show at talkingaboutpod@gmail.com. Please like, comment, and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Drop a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And most importantly, if you want to help out the show, tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into this conversation. Until next time, I'm TW. Peace.